the Secretary General of the National Chess Federation of the Philippines, Mr. Sammy Esimo. Sir, good afternoon po sa inyo and welcome to our program, Sports Chat. Yeah.
Okay, I'm Eugene Torre.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
I'm happy to be here in your program, Dennis. Good afternoon, Dennis, and to all your listeners.
Okay, Attorney Esimo, good afternoon.
Same here, Dennis. We are happy to be here so that we can say something about, well, what's happening to... many believe is the greatest chess player of all time. I'm referring to Mr. Bobby Fischer.
Okay, and okay, we have here, we already have on our line, line two. Okay, Mr. Bobby Fischer. Okay, and we are going to talk about his latest well situation, of course, in Japan. Okay, so I believe it's on the other line. Okay, so ladies and gentlemen, we have here Mr. Bobby Fischer. Mr. Fischer, this is Dennis Principe, and I have here Mr. Esimo and Mr. Eugene Torre. Good afternoon to you, sir.
Yeah, good afternoon. Could you give the date there?
Come again, sir?
What is the date? I just wanted to have the date like put on the interview. Today's date.
Today is August 31, sir.
Okay, okay.
Okay, so, well, right now, sir, the concern of each and every Filipino chess fans, no, as far as your situation is concerned, of course, is that right now you are in Japan and presently you're facing, some legal matters in that country. How are you right now, sir?
Yeah, well, I'm okay as of the moment, but, you know, they're threatening to send me to my death in America any time, you know.
Okay. Now, sir, maybe we can talk about your predicament out there. How come that you're now being pursued, no, again by the Americans, and right now you are in Japan?
Yeah, well... that's the big question everybody wants to know, why the filthy U.S. is doing this, you know.
Okay.
Actually, they're being, behind the scenes, the Jews are pushing Bush to get me back in the U.S. so the Jews can murder me there.
Okay. Now, here in the Philippines, Mr. Fischer, we learned about your predicament right now through this story that came out, I think this Time magazine.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so I was able to read this story, and to be honest with you, based on this story, there are still so many questions, no, as far as your situation is concerned, and were you able to read this story?
Yes, I have it. Yeah, I read it. Yeah. It's a very dishonest story in so many ways. Yeah, you know who? If you take a look at the magazine, they have the publisher's page. You know. And at the very top of the publisher's page, the editor-in-chief is a Jew called Norman Perlstein.
Okay.
And last name is spelled P-E-A-R-L-S-T-I-N-E. So the first name is Pearl, like, you know, like in pearls in the ocean.
Mm-hmm.
And the last name is Stein, but instead of spelling it the usual way the Jews spell Stein, S-T-E-I-N, they spell it S-T-I-N-E, like in Palestine, you see? So the first name is Pearl, for wealth, and then the last name is Stein, like in Palestine.
Okay, that would sound, well, ironic to your situation, sir.
What?
May sound ironic.
Yeah.
Okay, now, based on this story, You've been living together. Miss Miyoko Watai from Japan, the acting head of the Japan Chess Association. Actually, that's what how they started this story. And it says here that you've been living together with Miss Watai in Tokyo for the past 4 years. What angle are you seeing in this story?
Well, you know, they want to fill out the story with quotations from people who are not involved in the arrest, you see. Now, there is not a single quotation from either the U.S. government or the Tokyo embassy or the Manila embassy, and there's not a single quotation from the Japanese government or the Japanese immigration authorities, which is absolutely unbelievable. But the reason there are no quotations from them is because it's all totally illegal and they don't want to put anything on record, you see? If you look through the article, there is not one quotation from the U.S. government, not one quotation from the Japanese government.
Okay. Now, sir, how are you being represented as far as this case is concerned? Do you have your own lawyer, a lawyer of your choice in that place?
I have a Japanese attorney.
Okay.
Yeah. And we are trying to, you know, this is also totally illegal. And another thing this article doesn't mention, you will notice, is that the U.S. government took my passport illegally, and they have destroyed my passport. Absolutely unheard of. They have physically destroyed my passport. That's all on the internet, you know? You can go to the internet and get that.
Okay. Was this the same passport that you renewed in 1997 at the U.S. Embassy in Switzerland?
Right, right. Can I give my this internet site here? It's a very good internet site. I think everybody should go there to get the facts.
Sure, no problem. You can announce that, sir.
Okay, it's http://home.att.ne.jp/moon/fisher/, and Fisher is spelled F-I-S-C-H-E-R. And you go there, and you go to the first couple of pages, and every place that is underlined, you just click it, and then you'll get all the information, and you can see the facts yourself.
Okay, Mr. Fisher. Now, before I continue, we have here Mr. Esimo, who would like to ask some questions. Mr. Esimo, would you please?
Hello. Good afternoon, Bobby. Hello?
Hello? Hello? I can't hear now.
Okay. Good afternoon, Bobby. Can you hear me now?
I don't think we've ever met, have we, Mr. Estimo?
Let me remind you some of the times when we met, and some of the times when our chess professions had met somehow. I was in the SIGIN Chess Olympiad as a member of the Philippine National Chess Team. You remember that? We were in SIGIN, Germany.
Did you play there, or you were an official?
I was a player there. And you used to come to our hotel at the Cox Eke, where you would help us analyze our John games with Eugene Torre, Renato Naranja, and the rest of the members of the team. I was the fifth member of the Philippine team then, in 1970.
I see, yeah. Yeah, okay. And
if you remember, in 1973, when you were a guest of the Philippine government, particularly of President Marcos, if you remember, I was the one annotating the games at the Araneta Coliseum during that Grandmaster Classic, and according to Mr. Campomanes, you used to to go to a TV and watch my analysis of the games as they were being played at the Araneta. That was in 1973.
Remember that, yeah, that's right.
Oh, we would like to go now to your legal problem, Bobby. You can call me Sammy, Bobby.
Okay, Sammy, yeah.
Okay, we have to start from where this all began. It all began in September 1, 1992, when you decided to go on with your game against Boris Spassky, isn't it?
Right, that's right.
You were indicted for allegedly violating Executive Order Number 128110, dated June 5, 1992, isn't it?
That's right.
Basically, that executive order allegedly prohibits you from performing any contract in support of a commercial project in Yugoslavia.
But one thing, Sam, you have to know about that. That this is just an executive order is actually illegal because it doesn't go through the Congress, you know? It doesn't really, doesn't have the real force of law. They've been doing these executive orders a lot now for many years, but they're not truly legal, you know?
If I may recall, I think it was the father of the current president of the United States, the elder Bush, who issued this executive order, is it not, Bobby?
Under American system of law, you know, the Congress makes the laws, right? You see? You have a separation of these different powers. You have the courts and you have the executive branch, that's the Bush, I mean, that's the president, and then you have the Congress makes the laws. But the president is not supposed to make the laws with these executive orders, you see?
I have to go straight to the point, Bobby. Did you violate this Executive Order 128-10, dated June 5, 1992? I understand that you just played in a sports activity in Yugoslavia, and it had nothing to do with the economic or commercial activity.
Yeah, well, as I say, first of all, this is not a real law, you know? And I don't believe the U.S. government has a right to tell its citizens what they're doing when they're outside the U.S., you know? Believe it or not, Sammy, there is a hotel in Budapest when I was over there in Hungary, there was an article in the newspaper with an interview with the U.S. ambassador, and he was warning all American citizens not to go and eat in this hotel, because the hotel was owned by Libya. And Libya, the U.S. had economic sanctions against Libya, and the ambassador told all Americans, if you go to eat there, or if you go to stay there overnight, you will be prosecuted and you will go to prison.
Anyway, Bobby, you were eventually indicted because of an alleged offense that you committed against the federal law of the United States. Was your side ever given a chance to explain your side of this incident, Bobby?
What is that? Say it again. I didn't hear you.
Opportunity to refute all these charges under the indictment.
I just refuted it now. What do you mean?
Chance to air your side against these charges by the U.S. government. In other words, were you given due process?
No. You want me to go back to the U.S.? No, I have been involved in so many lawsuits in America. The U.S. system is totally corrupt, Sammy. Totally corrupt. I mean, look what they're doing, how they're torturing people in Guantanamo, how they're torturing people in America, how they're torturing people in Iraq. I was just reading the other day, an American was tortured in an American jail. He was butt naked for, just like I was butt naked in an American prison for a couple of days back in 80-81, about 80-81.
Okay, Mr. Fisher, Dennis Principe here.
It's a totally vicious, corrupt dictatorship there. Forget about justice there.
Okay, Mr. Fisher, this is Dennis Principe.
Yeah.
Mr. Fisher, maybe we can go back to your present, well, should we say, dilemma out there in Japan. No? Of course, your immediate concern right now is to get out of your, well, your confinement. So how is it doing right now? Is it moving to your favor?
Well, I don't know, really. First of all, you know, take a look at this magazine, this article in the Time magazine. They talk about that I was apprehended, I was collared, I was nabbed, I was detained. You know, right?
Yes, Mr. Fisher. So what was the real story behind your confinement in Japan? Because it says here that since July 13, you've been in confinement in Japan. So what's the real story behind your confinement?
Yeah, let me say, I was kidnapped by the Japanese government. That's the story. There is absolutely nothing legal about my being detained here. There's nothing legal about the cancellation of my entry visa to Japan and my exit visa to Japan. There's nothing legal about the destruction of my passport. This is all totally illegal. It's a violation of Japanese immigration laws. It's a violation of American laws. You know?
So does that mean that since July 13, nothing has been explained to you as to the reason why you are being apprehended?
Right, right, exactly. Exactly. Nothing has been explained at all. Nothing. And if you read this article, as I say, in Time of August 30th, 2004, this is an article called The King's Gambit, there is not a single quote from either the Japanese immigration, the Japanese government, or and there's not a single quote from the U.S. Embassy or from the U.S. government. Nothing. Because they don't want to put it on record because it's totally illegal. There is not a shred of legality to any of this. I am a kidnapped victim of the Japanese government, and they have kidnapped me at the behest of a corrupt criminal U.S. regime.
Okay. Now, Mr. Fisher, you mentioned earlier about a Japanese lawyer handling your case. Is he or she a government-appointed lawyer, or did someone from your end gave you this lawyer?
Her name is Masako Suzuki.
Okay, is he a government-appointed lawyer?
No, no, she's not government-appointed.
Okay, so this lawyer is your own personal lawyer?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, now, has he told you anything about the case since July 13, or have you met him since July 13?
Young lady, yeah.
She's a young lady?
Yeah.
Has she mentioned about the case to you since July 13?
Yeah, sure. I've talked to her on the phone many times. I've met her at the Narita Airport jailhouse, and I've met her over here at the Yoshika jailhouse. Sure, I've met her a number of times.
Bobby, it's Sammy here again.
Yeah.
We speak now of the latest of the events in your case, and I'm referring to the three requests which you made to the U.S. Embassy. One, you sent a letter dated August 10 to this Peter at the U.S. Embassy in Tokyo. Another letter dated August 16, 2004, sent by lawyer to the Secretary of State, Mr. Colin Powell. And then the last one, dated August 18, 2004, also sent by your lawyer to Mr. Colin Powell. Would you inform us, Bobby, what has been the result of all these requests?
Well, yeah. They were going. They sent somebody out here the other day, but I had had my attorney tell them that they should notify my attorney first, so that my attorney could be with me when they sent somebody from the embassy. But they didn't notify her, so she wasn't here. So I didn't meet with the embassy person.
well within your constitutional right to renounce your citizenship, isn't it, Bobby?
But the U.S. Embassy here sent me a ton of stuff regarding a ton of things for me to sign regarding the renunciation of a U.S. citizenship. But the thing is, they want much, much more than just a renunciation of your citizenship. They want you to sign a statement as a statement of understanding concerning the consequences and ramifications of renunciation, which is has many points. And then they want you to sign a statement regarding your tax liabilities, and you have to tell all the assets and liabilities you have. They want me to sign a very, and then there's another very long form, many pages, to prove that I'm a U.S. citizen and so on. So what we told the embassy, I want to have a copy of the laws of renunciation, because they want much too much. They want all kind of stuff that has nothing to do with the actual oath of renunciation, you know?
In other words, you are saying that the U.S. government is putting all roadblocks to your possible renunciation of the American citizenship, Bobby?
They are trying to set me up, even after I renounce my citizenship, to being prosecuted or actually persecuted for income tax things, for to be deported to the U.S. and so on. You see, this letter of understanding that they want you to sign, besides the oath, says that you may be deported to the U.S., you're still liable for tax this, and you're still liable for lawsuits or criminal lawsuits or whatever. It's a long thing. But I want to see what the law says. I don't think a person has to sign all these accompanying things besides the oath of renunciation, you see?
It's the U.S. government, just like in Chess Bobby, is laying some traps which you may fall in, and then you cannot get out of it. Is that what you are telling us, Bobby?
Right, they're laying traps. Well, you know what it is, Sammy? I think the U.S. government has found by experience that people who want to renounce their citizenship really want to renounce their citizenship, you know? They want to do it at all costs. And so they tack all of these other statements onto the renunciation of your citizenship, that you acknowledge this and you acknowledge that, and you give away this right and you give away that right, so that they can persecute you after you've renounced your citizenship too. You understand? They're trying to take advantage of people's state of mind, because they have found by experience that they can get away with this. So I want to find out what the law says. And then we asked them for the law, and they said, oh, our embassy services do not extend to doing legal research for you. But which this is nonsense, because in the renunciation papers, they refer to these laws, you see? They have these laws. They have them right there, you know? But they refuse to send them. So I have to get these laws so I know what my rights are regarding this renunciation, you know?
This are these documents made available to you now, Bobby?
Yes, I have all of them. I can read you some of this. See, the oath of renunciation is very short and simple. It's very similar to what I wrote to them, you know?
...that are hard to understand.
Huh?
...issues attached to the attempt to renounce citizenship that's making it hard for you to go on with this renunciation.
And also, they say, you see, they send you a letter here. It says renunciation of U.S. citizenship, and then it says documents required: 1, proof of citizenship, birth certificate, U.S. passport, certificate of naturalization, citizenship; 2, identifying document, U.S. passport, Japanese passport; 3, Japanese family register, including records of Japanese naturalization, if naturalized, proof of foreign nationality; 4, oath of renunciation; 5, statement of understanding. And this, they want you just to sign away your life to them, you understand? 6, questionnaire; 7, tax statement, you see?
They also, they are in effect wanting you to sign your death sentence. Is that what you're telling us, Bobby?
I can read you some of this stuff if you want. I can read you some of it. It's has nothing to do with renouncing your citizenship, many of these documents. Nothing at all.
Understand it, Bobby. But may I go to another point, Bobby? This may help you. In 1997, the U.S. government renewed your passport, number Z7792702. This was issued on January 24, 1997, to expire on January 23, 2007. My point of view here, from a legal standpoint, is that the U.S. government is under some kind of estoppel. You know what estoppel means?
Yeah, I heard the term. It's
yeah, when you are under estoppel, you must not question something which you issued. Meaning, that passport which you issued in 1997, set to expire in 2007, should remain a valid passport until it expires in 2007. And therefore, the U.S. government is under estoppel to question this because they issued this. It's a legal issue to a U.S. citizen, and therefore the U.S. government cannot take back what it issued. In other words, by issuing to you the passport in 1997, in effect, it is telling you, or the U.S. government is telling you, that you did not commit any offense in 1992 by way of alleged violating that economic sanction against Yugoslavia. In other words, you did not do anything illegal against the United States because they issued the passport.
This passport?
Opel. They cannot question later on what they issued to you as something illegal, and then for convenience they will take back their words and cancel the same passport which was legally issued to you.
Yeah, also, Sammy, last November they sold 24 extra pages into my passport because I had no room for visa stamps when I went to the Bern, Switzerland U.S. Embassy in Bern, you know?
To another thing, they gave you 24 extra pages which they inserted in your passport professionally bound, as you said. And therefore, it would appear as of November 6, 2003 that everything is legal in your document.
Right.
About your passport. And why is it that even still after that, you are allowed to enter Japan on that same passport? To be allowed to enter Japan on that passport and later on to say that that same passport has been invalidated when you are about to leave here for the Philippines this July 13. So, obviously, there's something foul here, Bobby.
Of course. Of course. They're claiming now that they have revoked my passport secretly, some kind of secret revocation on November 21st, 2003. That's like 2 weeks after they gave me these extra pages, right?
If you go to one federal law here, provision is 5175. It states here that any person whose application for issuance of a passport has been denied or who has otherwise been the subject of an adverse action taken on an individual, and that refers to you, to his or her passport, shall be entitled to notification in writing. You see, I'm reading this letter dated August 11, 2004. Written by Mr. Edward McKeon. There is a convenient paragraph here which states that that paragraph, it is not mandatory to notify him or her before revocation of passport. This precisely contradicts the very law that the Americans have promulgated in the matter of passports of his American citizens. This is absolutely ridiculous, because when you say shall be entitled to notification in writing, you should be notified. But it states here it is not mandatory to notify him. And therefore, what we are seeing here is that the U.S. government is going back on its own laws. It's the one violating its own laws, isn't it, Bobby?
Yeah. And also, if you read this letter of from Edward J. McCohen from the U.S. Embassy, of August 11, 2004, he admits that I was not properly notified. However, we were unable to properly advise him of the revocation until he was located in Japan on July 14th, 2004. He admits I was...
That's correct, Bobby.
The matter is, I was not improperly notified either. I was not notified, period, you know? I wasn't properly notified, I wasn't improperly notified, I was not notified, period, that of this alleged November 21st, 2003 revocation of my passport, you know? It's totally absurd, totally illegal. The revocation of your passport takes place, becomes effective, when they send you the letter notifying you, and then you have 60 days to appeal it.
But receive such notice, Bobby?
I mean, they destroy my passport, or had me arrested and destroyed my passport, then they notify me, you see, while I'm in jail, you see? Totally violating the laws, you know? Absolutely ridiculous.
So, if you don't mind, if I may butt in, Mr. Fisher, Mr. Esmo, so that means that you received the notification during the time that you were inside detention?
I received notification. There's a letter here from December 11, 2003, from the Embassy of the United States of America, Manila, Philippines. Incidentally, all of this is on that internet site that I gave, okay?
Okay.
All of these documents. There is a letter, December 11, 2003, which notifies me of this revocation. But they never sent me this revocation. I only got it on July 14, 2004. But they gave it to me after they had already destroyed my passport. After they had destroyed my passport. After they had arrested me. You understand?
Okay.
Totally illegal. They're supposed to send you this when your passport is still valid, you see? They send you this letter telling you your passport is revoked. Then you have 60 days to appeal it. And it does not become final until you either do not appeal it within those 60 days, or if you appeal it and then you lose the appeal. But even then, you can still appeal it again, you see? But the point is, they never notified me, and instead they first destroyed my passport. And then they notified me that they're revoking it. You know, it's totally ridiculous. It's totally illegal.
Okay. Now, Mr. Fisher, we are given here an idea that your passport was allegedly revoked, and that you mentioned also that you had, or I don't know if you still have, plans of renouncing your U.S. Citizenship. First question, which came first between these two, the revocation and the renunciation of the your citizenship?
No, first they destroyed my passport, of course.
Okay.
Yeah.
So when did you renounce or applied for, or should we say, applied for a renunciation of your citizenship?
Yeah. What about it? I just explained the situation with that.
Okay. So now that you have plans of renouncing your citizenship, what citizenship are you planning to have after this?
Well, I'm trying to get some other citizenship if I can, you know.
Okay, it was mentioned also, it is mentioned in this story that the possibility of you electing to become a German citizen.
Yeah, that's one possibility, you know.
Okay. Now, sir, with regards to your present situation, and based on what your lawyer has been telling you, what are the chances of you getting out of incarceration at the soonest possible time?
I mean, from the legal standpoint, I shouldn't be here. I should never have been arrested. My passport, my visas, my entry visa, my exit visa to Japan should never have been revoked, and so on. My passport should never have been destroyed or taken, even confiscated from me, you know. So legally, I shouldn't be here. I should be on the street right now, and I should have my passport. This has nothing to do with legality. This has to do strictly with politics, you see. I am a kidnapped victim here. I have been kidnapped by the Japanese government. I am a kidnapped victim.
Bobby, this is Sami again, Bobby. Bobby, what you are telling us, all told, you are telling us that the U.S. government has acted like a kangaroo court, meaning the U.S. government was the investigator, it was the accuser, and it was at the same time the judge in your case, and you were never given the chance to say your side in the matter, and then you were incarcerated without being given due process. Is that what you're telling us, Bobby?
Yes, no, the same like just the way the U.S. government robbed all my belongings in the beach. It's exactly the same thing.
Finally, it can be said that the U.S. government itself has violated its own constitution when the U.S. constitution says no person can be deprived of property or liberty without due process of law. I understand they confiscated also your leather case containing your passport. Is that what you're telling us, Bobby?
To me, they did return that, yeah.
But your liberty, the offense against your liberty can never be returned. But
yeah, and also the passport, it has been destroyed. You see, how can I appeal the revocation when the passport itself has been destroyed? You know?
That's also your property. It has been given to you. So, you were really deprived of property and liberty without due process, Bobby.
That passport. I paid for that passport.
Okay. Now, Mr. Fisher, with that, well, like what you've been saying, you are illegally detained in Japan right now, and although the reason the U.S. is giving is that you are being pursued because of that 1992 match, I believe, no? Against Boris Spassky. Now, as soon as you get out of confinement, what are your plans? Do you plan to still stay in Japan, or do you still plan to work on the on getting another citizenship?
Well, I'll worry about that when I get out, you know.
Okay, so the immediate concern, of course, is to get out.
To get out, but not to America. I don't. If they send me to America, I will be murdered there. There's no question about that. No question. 25 to 30 million Jews there, maybe more. At least 25 to 30 million Jews there. Every one of them wants to drink my blood and eat me alive, you know.
Okay. Now, Mr. Fisher, we have here Grandmaster Eugene Torre. Mr. Torre, I think you have some questions.
Hello, Bobby. This is Eugene.
What happened to you? What happened to you?
Well, yeah, I was reading this, Time magazine, and, it seems the adjectives given to you here are not so, you know, are not so kind.
Yeah. You know, there's something in here I just want to mention about Jackie Wilson.
Yes.
We discussed him in an earlier interview. You know, we played a couple of his records. Like, remember, No Pity?
Yes.
And I was since then, I've been reading, I read a book about him, I think called Jackie Wilson, Black Elvis, The Black Elvis.
Yes.
And I've been studying up on him, and also I've been listening to his albums, and, you know, he was really just an absolutely fantastic talent. And they call him here a crooner in this article, see? It says, their life together has been quiet, she tells Time. That's the Miyoko, see? They listened to 1950s crooner Jackie Wilson, discussed chess techniques, etc. Now, Jackie Wilson was a crooner, but he was so much more than a crooner. He was a rock and roll star, he was a soul star. star. He sang gospel. He sang everything. He even sang Danny Boy, that Irish classic song, right?
Yeah, I was listening to it. Fantastic.
But how many people read this? Every word Time Inc. chooses is deliberate, you see. Why did they call him the crooner? You know why, Eugene?
Why?
Because Time Life came out with a book about 2 years ago on rock and roll stars, rock and roll greats. That's like that, an anthology of all the, you know, like a big book, you know?
Yes.
But everybody is in that book, right?
Right.
The Temptations, Bob Dylan, name anybody, they're in there, you know? Sam Cooke, you know, just everybody, you know?
Right.
Hundreds of famous black names, hundreds of famous white names, all the groups, all the individual singers, right?
Right.
Who do you think is not in there?
Maybe Jackie Wilson?
Right, right. And I looked in the index, I went through the whole book, he is not mentioned anywhere. And I got two editions of the book. One edition has an index, another doesn't.
Why?
Why? Because that's the way the Jews are. Time Life is a Jewish outfit, and they just hate real talent, you know, in any walk of life, you know. It's so mean and malicious to, you know, there may have been greater singers than Jackie Wilson, and there may have been greater dancers than Jackie Wilson, but I don't think there's ever been anybody who could do both as well as he did, you know?
Okay, Bobby, yeah. Anyway, in the Time magazine, Bobby, the adjectives here, it seems that you are running criminal, no? A fugitive.
Let me just finish my thought about Jackie Wilson, okay?
Okay.
One day, Time Life will probably do a chess anthology, you know? And who do you think will not be in there? Huh?
What?
One day in the future, Time Life will probably do a chess anthology, right? Of chess greats. Because they're doing books like that in very many different fields. You understand? You understand, Eugene?
I understand.
And who do you think will not be in their future Time Life chess anthology?
Who else but you?
Right, right. That's why they called him a crooner here. So they can say, oh, we didn't put Jackie Wilson in there because he's not rock and roll. He's a crooner. You see? But I don't know any crooners who do leg splits and back over flips like Jackie Wilson and who shout and scream like Jackie Wilson did in No Pity, right?
Right.
Crooner would be somebody like Jack Jones or the Jew Tony Bennett, right? Or the Italian Perry Como, if he really was an Italian, right?
Right.
Of course, he could croon Jackie Wilson, but to label him a crooner to escape the responsibility for leaving him out of the Time Life rock and roll book is very cheap and dirty, you know?
Okay.
Okay.
Okay, Bobby. How about this? Would you like to say anything about the title of the Time magazine, The King's Gambit?
Oh, yeah. I don't know what they mean, King's Gambit. Who played the King's Gambit? Me or the U.S. government? Who's playing the King's Gambit? I want to know. Because I don't play the King's Gambit, you know, Eugene. I have played the Bishop's Gambit, right? E4, E5, F4, pawn takes F4, Bishop's D4, right? See, I never played the straight King's Gambit, which is E4, E5, F4, pawn takes F4, knight F3. So when they talk about the King's Gambit, I assume they're talking about the U.S. government is playing the King's Gambit, right?
Okay, sir.
They initiated. They're white. I'm black. So I assume they mean the U.S. government is playing the King's Gambit. I don't know.
Oh, I see. And who's the king?
Bush, no? Yeah. But it's a very interesting article. There's just so many mean... Also, they say I'm a fugitive, right?
Right.
True. I mean, if you look up the word a fugitive in the dictionary, that
you. You were not fleeing. You were not fleeing when you were in Hungary. We were together. You were not fleeing anywhere else.
By the U.S.? Did I flee? I stayed in Yugoslavia another 10 months or so, right?
Right.
I would have been fleeing anywhere, you know? Also, they call me, anti-Semite, which is not true. Because if you look up the term Semite, it refers, in the dictionary, it refers to Jews and Arabs, right?
Right.
Well, I'm not anti-Arab. How can they call me an anti-Semite? It's ridiculous. Right?
Right, buddy.
And also, they say, I'll read the beginning of the article. To the average lonely heart, Bobby Fischer, erstwhile chess champion, virulent anti-Semite, and fugitive from the U.S. justice system, might not sound like Mr. Right. You know?
Yeah.
If that's true, I'm not sure it is true. If it's true, it's because of articles like this that are conditioning young women or women of any age is not to consider me Mr. Right, you know?
Ah, okay.
And?
Yeah, I understand. Okay, Bobby. Dennis here is signaling me that time is almost up. But you can go through the articles and comment as you wish, so that you can complete this regarding the story, your understanding, you know.
Oh, the Time magazine article.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. Well, they're just so many things that they didn't. First of all, you know, you remember that guy Brad Darick?
Yes.
He wrote the book about me called Bobby Fischer versus the rest of the world, right? Huh?
Right. Right. Right.
You know, he was a crook, but he did say one thing in an interview that I thought was very interesting. Is he used to interview the Hollywood stars a lot. And
What was it?
He was interviewed by People magazine. They asked, how do you get such perceptive interviews?